PSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Reuters reporting. Biden, Japan's Kishida, the prime minister, forged new partnership eyeing China and Russia. I welcome Josh Rogan, Global Opinions for the Washington Post, writing about this occasion the night before. And the visit by the prime minister was the anchor for conversations running in all directions across the Pacific. The AUKUS phenomenon, Australia, the United Kingdom, and the U.S., being joined by more of the Five Eyes and Japan, and there's more to it. But we'll concentrate on Japan because, Josh, a very good evening to you. You anticipated there would be excitement, and there was a state dinner for Prime Minister Kishida. Was it regarded as a success in Washington, or are there doubts now that the Self-Defense Force can match the U.S. Navy and the rest of the armed services? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, what we had this week was two sort of watershed moments in the U.S. effort to rebuild alliances with democracies in Asia to respond to China's rise and especially China's aggression in places like the South China Sea. And one of them was the meeting and state dinner with between President Biden and Prime Minister Kishida, which I attended. And the second was Thursday's trilateral summit between Kishida, Biden, and the president of the Philippines, Marcos Jr., Bongbong, as they call him. And that's the first time the leaders of the U.S., Japan, and the Philippines have met together in one room ever. And, you know, there is a series of what they call deliverables, things that they announced, new space cooperation here, new maritime cooperation there, new projects on technology, et cetera, et cetera. But in a sense, the significance of these meetings is that they happened at all, because 2 years ago, you couldn't have imagined that when Marcos came to power in 2022, with a lot of Beijing support, that he would have drifted this far westward and be repositioning the Philippines as a more staunch ally of the United States. And you couldn't have imagined that the Philippines and Japan would have been so close, you know, because they have realized that they have a common threat, which is that the Chinese government thinks that the entire South China Sea and the East China Sea and lots of other places that are contested belong to them, and they're going about taking over those places. And that, I think, you know, is sort of just a very visual and a very sort of illustrative moment in to mark what's really going on in Asia, which is that a lot of these countries, especially in Northeast Asia, but increasingly in Southeast Asia, are turning to the United States for help. Now, you know, there's big problems with that, you know, strategy, to be sure. It lacks an economic and investment component that the region can get behind. Nobody knows if Biden's going to be around as president next year. Nobody knows if Kishida is going to be around as president next year, and so on. So, you know, without saying that this is going to solve all of our problems, I think we can just sort of look at these meetings as a sign that, you know, the tectonic geopolitical plates in East Asia are shifting beneath our feet, and pretty rapidly, even though we don't notice it every day.
My understanding about Japan is that there's a mixed picture of support for military presence, especially on the out islands, the Okinawa chain, but it might be also on the main island. Has that been solved by Kishida? Has he, you know, the bully pulpit does a lot, and he's been at it for a few years, but you mentioned his popularity is not what it could have been.
Right. Well, you know, having traveled to Japan recently and interviewed Kishida myself last year, I can tell you that, you know, the amount of change in Japan's national security and foreign policy stance in the last few years has been greater than the last 80 years combined. And just, a lot of it is due to what happened in Ukraine, and a lot of it is due to what's going on with China. And basically, what we've seen is that Kishida has promised to double Japan's defense budget from 1% to 2%. That's a $50 billion a year increase over the course of 5 years. He's acquired offensive missiles for the first time. He's supplied Patriot batteries to the United States to backfill our sending them to Ukraine. He completely changed Japan's stance towards Russia under the mantra, which I think is true: Ukraine today could be East Asia tomorrow. So I think the change in Japan is cross societal, but to be sure, there is a minority backlash, and the people in some of these islands for sure are worried about the increased militarization and what it means for them. But you know, I think Japan is just sort of way out in front in understanding that the world has changed and that, you know, China's aggression and Russia's aggression needs to be answered with a tough response. That's something I happen to agree with. Now, you know, what's extra funny is that he's from the liberal side of the party. So he spent a political career arguing against these very moves. But when I asked him about that, he said very clearly, well, a leader can't choose the time that they lead in. And he's trying to do the best with the options that are laid before him.
So what we're looking at is growing AUKUS, or are they conceiving a new organization entirely from the original AUKUS idea? Pillar one was attack boats out of Fremantle in Western Australia. Pillar two is technology, perhaps uncrewed submersibles. What is the thinking of Japan, to join in pillar one, pillar two, or a new day?
Right. So, you know, I think it's important to understand this fundamental difference between the geopolitical chessboard in Asia as opposed to, say, Europe. In Europe, we have NATO. It's got 30-some-odd countries, and, you know, basically more or less rowing in the same direction. In Asia, every country is so different. A 30-member organization is simply impossible. It's just not going to happen. So what the administration has done is they built a bunch of them in twos and threes and fours. And AUKUS with the Australia and UK, that's just one of them. And it can overlap with any of the others. For example, the Quad has two AUKUS members, the U.S. and the and Australia, but then it also has India and Japan. And so they all sort of plug into each other in different ways. I think Japan, to answer your question directly, will be part of, quote-unquote, Pillar 2 of AUKUS, which means they're not in AUKUS, but they can do stuff with them. And, you know, the Biden people call this a lattice work approach. I don't think that people really understand what that means. Essentially, they're building a web, you know, of and that web is meant to keep China in, to constrain China, to contain China, if we're being blunt about it. And let's hope it works.
And the question then, what comes next? You mentioned Five Eyes. How general is the net? How wide is the net?
Right. I mean, because all of these things are moving targets, I think we shouldn't be too quick to declare victory on the building of this net. It's a work in progress, and especially since the Biden administration may not be there too much longer, it's something that could disappear or disintegrate pretty quickly if the next administration doesn't really care for that strategy. And so I do think that there's an intelligence component to it, but Five Eyes is something that's so sacrosanct, and that's the United States, UK, Australia. What are the other two?
The UK, Canada, the US, Australia, New Zealand.
Five. And New Zealand. Yeah, that's so sacrosanct that I don't think they're going to let Japan or Korea into them. And Japan and Korea, for two examples, have some issues in the area of intelligence security, right, if we're being honest about it. But, you know, they're really just going for the realm of the possible. And I think they're making a lot of progress on the security side of the equation. They're not making so much progress on the economic side of the equation. That's the part where China's part of the strategy is really dominating. And if you go to a place like Indonesia or Malaysia or Singapore, for that matter, that's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you that, you know, AUKUS is fine and well and good, but if you don't show us the money, then we're eventually going to have to accept our new Chinese regional overlords.
Josh Rogan, Washington Post.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.